districts from.
Yeah. I know Joe and Crystal are going to be here soon, so we can maybe hold off on anything that we have to vote on. And then we'll jump back to that. So we'll call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. We have some new faces at the table. Do you want to go around and do some introductions?
Certainly.
Jim Hollis, I'm the chair of the committee, representing 4th District. I work for now William Lyon Homes. I work for RSI. RSI was recently acquired by William Lyon Homes in March, so we're kind of transitioning. We're still kind of acting as an independent division of William Lyon Homes. It seems like that's going to be the direction that we're going, but that is official, and I have new business cards that I kind of checked out here, so same contact information, same office, so so it's exciting for us. So
Jeff McGiver, supervising building inspector for the county.
Larry Jeffrey, supervising building inspector for the county.
Satinder Verma, inspection services manager.
Richard Wong, county division manager.
Joanna Chang, lands manager.
Colby Cataldi, director of public works.
Amy Manis, land development manager.
Adi Talakot, building safety manager.
Carl Taylor, Hewitt Zollers, DPRC, 4th District.
Adam Wood with the Building Industry Association.
Joe Lambert, CPS.
Sharon Gilliam, secretary.
And then Jay and
Jeff.
Yeah, Jay Mullick, Rancho Mission Viejo, DPRC, 2nd District.
Jeff O'Clough, Hewitt Zollers, civil. Representing the 5th District.
Great.
So Jim, real quick, I just wanted to highlight that we have a couple new staff members here at the county. Well, one has been here at the county for a while, but transitioned over to building inspection supervision. And then we have another one that we grabbed out of the private sector that has a lot of public sector experience. And so we'd like them to, you know, normally we give them our face-to-face with, you know, the team here. And do you want them to tell them a little about themselves?
I would love that, yeah.
All right, well, I've been an inspector for about 18 years. Started with the city of Pomona and kind of worked my way up. Then unfortunately, Pomona outsourced their department. Then I went to work for the County of Los Angeles as an inspector. I was there for a little bit more than a year. Then I went to work for John Wayne Airport when they were doing the terminal and everything like that. And once the terminal finished, construction finished, there wasn't that much to do for an on-site inspector. So I slowly transitioned to project management. Done project management for the last 3 years or so, and now I'm back over to inspections.
Great.
I'm Larry Jeffrey. I've been a building inspector for a little over 15, close to 16 years. Before that, I was on the other side, on building construction, doing most of the trades. Worked for Hoddy and Fullerton for quite a while. Went private inspection services, and then this opportunity came. I came here. Look forward to working with all of you.
So, Crystal just walked in. For those of you on the phone, we have two new team members here for Development Services. They're both supervising building inspectors, so they're critical to Satinder's team. Everyone here knows Hunter, and you know Jonathan Tucker on the horizontal side. So these guys are shaping up our vertical side and have a ton of expertise. So you'll see and hear a lot from them and engage them on whatever the matters are. They both operate through two teams of roughly 5 or 6, you know, person teams out there in the field and or more, whatever it may be. And so these are the new faces, but there's a lot of experience behind them.
Awesome.
So we're pleased to have them.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
And with a caveat to that, and not to kind of put you on the table without any information, but I'm curious. I know you guys have been looking for people for a long time because inspections keep increasing. You have some numbers of where we're at with inspection, or rough numbers?
Roughly about 3,500 a month.
Wow.
That's not.
Yeah.
Put some context to that.
That's a lot. Well, thank you. Yeah, welcome, guys.
So you guys can stick around if you want to, and or you can, if you have to get out to the field, that's fine too. It's up to you.
I kind of like to stick around a bit and see, see what this is about.
I think you had an appointment this morning, so I'm going to back out of this.
Okay, not.
Jeff, can fill me in?
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Yeah, nice to meet you. So with that, we'll back up really quick too, and we have the approval of the April meeting minutes. Quickly review that, and we'll look for a motion for approval. Any questions or comments?
Mine incorporated.
With that, can I have a motion?
Okay, the second, I'm sorry.
Carl.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Orange to green zoning code.
All right, so you guys have heard of this mega project, been around for a little while. It started off as sustainability and grew into something we all kind of nurtured along the way, but we're still at somewhat at the beginning, but more in final form. So, you know, we went through this and added in, you know, basically like a wish list from DPRC and a wish list from county staff and kind of, what are all the fixes that, you know, everyone's had pains with, you know, that we can get our minds around to smooth, you know, out, you know, a new comprehensively updated code. And then we added in some components that came from board direction, like sober living, short-term rentals, things that are of our day right now, that are issues in the community. So I know that we talked about this a number of times. We've even talked about the recent addition of having some regulation around the preservation of trees. We did make a pit stop last week. It's not a pit stop, but we finally got the document and all the various chapters, you know, that make it up, and the revised chapters, and we have it in now what is the final form of a revised document. So finally, it's all in one place to review it. And so then we did go to the Planning Commission last week. I'm stealing all of Richard's thunder right now.
Yes.
But we did go to Planning Commission last Wednesday, and your former colleague, Mr. Dave Bartlett, is now on the Planning Commission, so he was there hearing it from that space. And then so we just rolled out, here's the various chapters, here's what we'll cover, and then over the next 2 months, we'll have this on the streets and advertised, so we can start taking in all types of public comment from various stakeholder groups. We expect comments coming from like the sober living industry, the short-term rental industry, other kind of environmental groups, and other kinds of things. And our plan forward is that we'll take in all those comments, we'll track them on matrices, we may track them with some track changes in the document, depends on what it all comes in as. We will make a number of trips back to the Planning Commission. Maybe it's every 2 weeks, or maybe it's just, you know, maybe every 2 weeks, and we're just going to carve out, here's two chapters to discuss and dive into next Wednesday, and here's the next two for the following, for 2 weeks later, and so we're going to go back to the Planning Commission and just dive into all the issues, and then hopefully the stakeholder industries, they can come in and focus on the discussion that they're most interested in and not try to deal with the bigger discussion. So that is kind of the way forward, and so, you know, we as staff are presenting a menu of options that comes from many different places. And at the end of the day, it's all gonna get distilled down to what is, you know, Planning Commission's most approvable, you know, consentable type document. And so a lot will fall off because that's just the nature of these projects. And then some will survive. And then we will go from there and then eventually get it to the board. But we wanted to mention it again today. Next on the agenda is something called this housing declaration, and which is also a new component that may fold into our zoning code update as the board is wrestling with the housing crisis, and they took a board agenda staff report in March to make this housing declaration, you know, with this resolution, and then they gave staff direction to come up with some strategies about how we could incentivize, you know, more housing and more affordable housing is really what it was around. Like less than 500,000 was a number, $500,000 was a number that we were trying to target. So that subject may fold into the zoning code effort. It's likely some of it will, and that'll come out in like an overlay concept, not like us changing zoning, actual zoning of parcels. So we're trying to provide more opportunity and but with some flexibility. And so before we get into the next item, Richard, was there anything on the agenda in the Orange County zoning code that you wanted to?
Yeah, so like the flyers we passed out, that's the most updated version, but we'll make some changes. So we do have a schedule set for Glen and Plan Commission every 2 weeks up until the end of the public review period, which is 2 months. We might extend that out if we get more comments. We also have a roadshow schedule going to each of the review boards. We still have to find groups out in North County areas. We contacted Rossmore already. We still have to reach out to Midway City and potentially West Anaheim. I'm just gonna get their feedback too. So we probably will have additional updates to our roadshow schedule. Everything's on the website, so we'll be updating that pretty regularly. All the documents are also on the website too. And we also created an email where anyone can email us any comments they have. Like Colby said, we'll be hitting each section of the zoning code every 2 weeks. This upcoming Wednesday, we'll do our kickoff of explaining what we want to show. We're just going over the easiest sections. So the introduction, the definitions, and the beginning of the zoning code. And we'll also ask for feedback on commissioners on how they want to tackle the topics. But we'll be presenting basically every section, probably 2 or 3 sections every meeting. And each of those will probably have at least one controversial item as we go. And then we can always extend the public review comment period out if we need to. We'll have flyers out at the front counter. So if you have any constituents that you want to pass these out to, we also get copies of that too.
I think one other thing, since BIA is here, we always obviously like to invite BIA to either this discussion or planning commission, because we want to make sure we have everyone's thoughts and correspondence and comments on any project that there is. We don't want to miss anything, but so if you think that we actually should make a stop at BIA in one of your open sessions or something like that, we're happy to do a presentation there and facilitate some dialogue. I just not sure why I didn't think about that before. But I know you're always making house calls here. So
we're happy to our place.
We're happy to reciprocate that, yeah.
Thank you.
Government affairs committee might be the right spot for that.
There's a couple opportunities coming up, so that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. We'll coordinate that with you. Yeah. Any questions on the Orange County zoning code?
This is Jay. I don't have I do have a question. I just wanted to say that I did download the document, and Colby and team, it's just a really impressive effort that you have put together. It's a lot of information that's been put together over quite a bit of time. I can see why it took so long. Thanks for giving us and the Planning Commission so much time to look at it. Just a question. It sounds like the way you're going to march through the document. I know that we've already had a DPRC committee on subcommittee on parking, and it sounds like that was toward the end of that march through the meetings of the PC.
Yeah, I think near the end on the schedule.
Yeah.
So, Chairman Hollis, I would just suggest maybe you could ask if there's any other items within the zoning code draft that, as people see it, that they think might be either worth a different subcommittee to look at, maybe the tree ordinance, for instance, or if the subcommittee we put together on parking, which we'll probably get together now that we have a final draft, I think you want to maybe coordinate those efforts so that there's just one subcommittee. As Scott was saying, there's a lot to go through, and maybe just a single topic subcommittee or two might be worthwhile.
Is there an executive summary of kind of the highlights of the changes? I mean, not the mundane stuff, but the big ticket items.
Yeah, we do. The major items is parking, tree preservation, sober living, short-term rentals, and
orange to green.
And the potential housing overlay that's going to go into it. A lot of the other changes are pretty small, but there's a lot. So we probably have changes in every single section going through. which is why we want to break it up to chapters when the planning commission, because there's changes to everything. Even the whole format is changing. We're going to a more consistent format with other cities, so that what we're used to right now is going to be totally different too. All the chapters are renumbered. A lot of the graphics are redone too. So to
help organize that for a consumer to consume this stuff, and there's a crosswalk document developed to help illustrate here's what it was before, and then here's what is the new. So you have a summarized, here's a change cheat sheet. That's online too?
I thought Ruby had put something together when this first started at one point. It was almost like an Excel spreadsheet that kind of highlighted some of those elements. But I think going back really quick to what Jay had mentioned, I think the having a committee to go over all of that instead of having multiple committees, I think would be the best idea, is to have one committee to kind of hit the highlights of a lot of the issues that we brought up over the last year. And maybe we go back to our meeting minutes and review a couple of those key elements. But if we have that, with the executive summary or some sort of summary, that would help us look at any other issues that we might have missed.
And on the BIA too, so they don't have to wade through the whole thing.
Yep. So,
and Adam has been part of our parking subcommittee. That crosswalk document was really helpful. Thanks for that. Just one other smaller change that I did notice was made that might be worth us talking about, because we talked a little bit in our DPRC meetings about change plans, and the zoning code change is drafted to change the phrase that a site development permit is a precise plan of development to a detailed plan of development. It would be interesting to know how, I didn't see any change to the change plan section, and maybe just an explanation from staff of how that might be interpreted differently would be all we would need on that. But
yeah, and we added a third tier, so the minor modification should be in there too. So now it's like a minor mod, change plan, and then full PA. So it's like a three tier now instead of two tiers.
That's great.
So going back to that, the schedule, so we talked about that committee towards the end. Would that be sometime in June then? Or the subcommittee, or before June?
Before June would be helpful, or during any of the planning. So if we only meet once a month, so the next, if we meet in June and July, it might go dark. So. Mm-hmm.
So the subcommittee, we don't need it off.
Yes, off. Yeah. So sometime between now and the end of the month.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So I think Jay, we just need to get us scheduled together when everyone or the committee members can meet.
I'd be glad to be on that committee and help in any way. If we want staff involved, maybe we ask who might want to be on that committee from staff's side.
Yeah,
depending on the topic. So we kind of split up. So Ruby's our main lead on a lot of the chapters, but Joanna's taking a lead on some of the other chapters too, like tree preservation. So if we can narrow it down to the chapters, then we can figure out which staff members would be more appropriate.
So if we can get that executive summary, that will help us narrow it down.
Yeah.
And then we're probably going to be wanting to do that later in May, what I'm hearing.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
And anyone else at the table that wants to be part of that committee? The subcommittee?
I want to volunteer Rick Fitch.
I think he already did volunteer for it.
Well, he's a planner, and he would be very interested, I'm sure.
Okay.
And since he's not here, I can do that.
That's perfect. I agree. For what it matters. Okay, so I guess Jay, when you get back, do you want to send out an email to correspond with everyone to see when it works? When are you going to be back?
I'll be back on Friday. Yeah, so I'll send out an email next week.
Okay, perfect. Anything else on orange to green? Anything on the housing declaration?
So just like you mentioned, the board took the housing declaration, you know, Supervisor Joe's office, so the chair, it came from his office, and everyone's trying to deal with the, not just the housing crunch, and it's about affordability, and this is a nationwide conversation. It's not unique anywhere, but, and so they are, I know that they looked at LA and a lot of things that they are trying to build certain strategies to move forward. So then they had given us direction, us and OCCR, they run, you know, housing programs and funding and so forth and financing their certain projects. But, and so we met with Supervisor Joe's office in April, and we had an internal county team just kind of, you know, brainstorming session, and where we brought in some strategies that we know either some other local jurisdictions are doing or even LA is doing, and even the state is recommending, type of a thing. And so we documented, I don't know, you know, 10 or so as potential options, and again presented a menu, and even inclusionary housing is one of them, because that's just one that usually land on a list. In many jurisdictions, it doesn't survive. In some, it may stick. So we understand that, but at least it's there to be discussed. And so we have a deliverable back to the board in the first week of June, where we're going to provide a memo in response to the board's March 6th discussion, and then we're gonna say, okay, here's a number of strategies that that the board could, you know, act on, you know, consider us to do further evaluation that incorporate into a zoning code update and also a housing element update, which is, you know, a 2-year out effort for us in our cycle. And so we want to give the board, you know, many of options to digest. And so part of that process is, one, let's bring this discussion before Planning Commission. So we did that last week when we were on the Wednesday calendar when we had the orange to green. So we teed it up last week for them, briefed them about where the board was at, about what was that we were asked to do, and then the product that we had. And then they made some comments straight out of the gates on like inclusionary or not supportive and things of that nature, and that's fine. That's what we're here for, is to hear this feedback. and then in talking to Supervisor Joe's office, we told them that we would agendize it for this meeting for DPRC. I think that's probably the principal reason why we're actually here in this month, because I know we had talked about not coming to this meeting, but that is really the impetus for having this scheduled today, so we can get into it in May, so we can then prepare and have this form as a part of our update to the board, that we at least have some little discussion here and get some feedback. So that's why we are. Richard, do you have any handout to us, some of our draft strategies and things like that?
Not the handout for the strategies, but basically we're just, probably one of the best ways we're looking at it is providing more flexibility or incentives for people to build. So right now we have a housing overlay that covers all of our commercial areas and also our apartment districts that allow fully affordable housing that gives you bonuses and parking reductions. One of the strategies we're looking at is providing even more flexibility, so no longer having a caveat of 100% affordability, maybe you could use some tiers, so you could provide some market rate and affordable and have different levels of bonuses or reductions. We're looking into a more transit-oriented development too, so if you're within certain districts, you get more bonuses. So that's one of the routes that we're looking for. But we're really looking for feedback from the development community and also from you guys on what hurdles you guys see or what strategies you might think will work best. And we can't change CEQA and we can't change the land prices, right? So what can we do within our restrictions to help build more housing at a lower rate?
I think one of the key challenges from a developer's perspective is its fees. In the state of California, we're paying more fees than any other state. And what happens often in inclusionary housing is you automatically do the in-lieu of fees.
Yeah.
And providing inclusionary housing within your project is challenging because you're going to be at a certain price point here selling homes, and a certain percentage needs to be at another level, and that presents a real challenging from a marketing perspective. And so if you're looking at affordability, the fact of the matter is you're not giving away that money. The money is going into the cost of the home. So if you're doing inclusionary housing fee in lieu of fees, you're just adding that cost to the home. I think that's something that that inclusionary housing program doesn't realize. Builders aren't giving it away. We can't, because everyone's in business to make a profit, and we're not making massive profits across the board. So the challenge is, how can you reduce fees to make it easier for builders to build in some of these areas where you need affordable housing, whether it's transit areas? If you can reduce fees, that's going to be a huge benefit to builders.
Would reducing schedule of process?
Also, absolutely, because time is money. Yeah, absolutely. So those are other things. Is there a way we can shortcut CEQA, but even if there's a bonus and
jumping into the line or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's different things you could do. So right now with the affordable overlay, we don't require a public hearing, it's all administrative, so that greatly reduces any like CEQA battles. But if you go fully radical, we could say it's ministerial, by right, you could do X, Y, and Z, no public hearings, no CEQA required. That's another option.
It's also building permit processing, grading permit processing, right. And you know, how fast can you move that through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are some of the options that we brought up to you, we already have expedited for the ranch, but what type of options we have for general communities that can expedite projects if you have affordable. So with fully affordable projects, we do have like a sole project manager that expedites our project through. Yeah. So how can we expand that to different types of projects and stuff too?
But yeah, products. Building permit processing, some of the cities or counties maybe make sense. Places out of Riverside, 4 or 5 weeks, that helps when you come. But here, let's say locally, the maximum we have 15 working days, and then go down to 10 and threes. So for us, I don't know, that would benefit here, but if you say Riverside County or LA County, when it's 6 weeks or 8 weeks, down to 3 weeks, then you guys happy. So it has to maybe work some areas, maybe here.
Well, maybe a creative idea is when you have to go
days, to, I don't know, that helps.
If you have to go to the board, can we shortcut the process to the board? You know, we don't have to, you know, I know that's, yeah. that, that's but, yeah, you know, those are the things that I know it's more work for you guys, but because I understand and appreciate
it. It's just
but we're talking special circumstances, sure, too.
There was a project many years ago called Benchmark. I don't know if you remember way, way, way back when. It's back when the Lake Forest area was not incorporated, that was county. And the developer and the county got together and said, let's work together and see how rapidly we can get this thing processed and make everything go as quickly as we could, just to see about, because time is money. Mm-hmm. And they went through and did it, and it was pretty amazing. I don't remember why they were doing it other than just expediting, but you know, there's, when you put your mind to it, mm-hmm. you say, how can we reduce periods, how can we reduce turnaround time and multiple plan checks and yeah. you know, waiting times on this and that. It really compressed it down.
And
Bill Watt, I think, knew about that. Yeah. Might have been one of his projects.
I think so. But Hadi, you're right. It's pretty efficient here at the county, but if you guys set precedence here, it kind of oozes out to other agencies. It's, I guess, called infectious. But I think it sets a standard. Problem is, it's not what you guys do here is not what most agencies do.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And we get hung up is really, and more recently, I kind of wonder if there was some sort of conference that all planners went to, because the articulation on architecture and the scrutiny on architectural style is not here, but at other agencies is insane. I mean, it is utterly insane what we're going through in other agencies right now, just to get a little bit of articulation and try and interpret architecture. And that stuff has to go out the window. You know, if we're looking at affordability, it doesn't matter if something pops out a foot, right. You know. And I understand we want to build nice homes and we're doing that anyway. We've learned over the years that's a marketable thing, but there has to be exceptions to that. And that's where in affordable housing, hey, it doesn't matter if you have articulation on the house or if you have, you know, how variable the elevations are, and you know, that's where the exceptions have to be made and that's where we lose time on other agencies. We go months in just negotiating architecture in some agencies like Hemet, and you know, it's ridiculous that we go through that process. If you want affordable housing, you gotta make it simple, easy homes to build, that's where affordability comes in. And also fees. You know, we have to look at opportunities to reduce fees. So the cost of the cost it takes to build homes and the fees that are associated with it, and that time, of course. Those are, I think, the three factors on our side.
In 1998, as at Riverside County, and myself and a colleague developed their fast track program. Mm-hmm. And I know, Jim, it's really designed for industrial commercial project. It's not designed for residential, because residential goes through Riverside County's pipeline all day long. You don't have to ask for it to come or beg for it to come. What you want to do is build the economics, you know, in the county, in these communities, with job generation and commercial industrial type activities, and you know, all the logistics and all the type stuff around it. And so, you know, once that hit, you know, kind of the mainstream in terms of processing projects with a volume like they have, as being one of the fastest growing counties in the country, you know, City of Riverside and everyone else was calling us up to mimic exactly what we were
doing. Right. Yeah.
And it was the gold standard for processing. So when I came here, before I was at Sacramento, but when I came here, there's not a lot of room to move in terms of processing time here. There's already an expedited process set up, and there's really not an ability to go even beyond that those time frames, because it's already so concise. Mm-hmm. Because I'd love to do even, you know, quicker and whatever type of stuff. So I mean, process is time, and that does matter. There's no doubt about it. Here, that's not a place I think the needle can be moved a whole lot. But the other strategies that and even board thing, when you talk about accelerating something to the board, which a fast track program by resolution can dictate those timelines and place requirements on the clerk of the board and then the county council, because there's a whole machine to
sure.
take any agenda step report to the board. And so it's 2 months in every county, no matter where you go. If you lucked out, you might get there in 6 weeks. If it's a just dire emergency, okay, it's 4 weeks. but I mean, so it's not so much about that. The strategy that we're really trying to get to is more density type stuff. I mean, the state has ratios where, you know, if you're going to do, you know, like a mixed income type product, here's some density ratios. And so what we were doing the other day is, well, we want to go beyond what the state wants, you know, provide. So there's more bang for the buck for the developer and more incentive to get in here and, you know, get more return on it. And so we were already crafting up certain tables, you know, to go farther than what the state did, which is, if any cities are out there doing that, they're usually just copying what the state's doing.
Right.
And so, Richard, is there any other, off the top of your head, is there any other charges that you...
Well, small lot subdivisions are another, I know a lot of cities are starting to adopt that, and I think any creative opportunity to give us some flexibility to get this space that we purchase, to get opportunities to get some sort of modular element in there that, I don't mean modular problems, but I mean just, you know, you got your puzzle piece you're trying to put together. If there's creative ideas of duplexes or multiplex developments with zoning setbacks and reducing those setbacks, that's huge for us.
Yeah, we're talking like vertical mixed use stuff, obviously, but we're even, you know, talking, you know, let's do some horizontal mixed use stuff. There may be easier ways to get there. But, and then, you know, in terms of height restrictions, we need to go allow people to go down Beach Boulevard and buy up a block or whatever and go up 4 stories or 6 stories or whatever it may be, you know, to really make an impact along major corridors and do something that has some real meaningful benefit in terms of unit counts.
Right.
Do you have a strategy included in here for providing housing for the homeless?
The direction was just to do general market rate housing, $500,000 mark. But it includes our affordable component includes like permanent supportive services too. So we would just expand that overlay to like almost everything. So all different types of mixed.
So the
people can't afford to buy.
Right.
Can you afford to rent?
Like no.
The people
so that's
scraping out of the river and putting in hotels.
Yeah. So that's a very different program. You know, so the board's trying to hit affordability at less than 500, see what can be done there, right? And so you're trying to do it in a non-subsidized way. We can build projects all day long, and they're always subsidized in our mechanics. There's no other way to skin that cat. Nothing computes. And So without the subsidy, because we put millions of dollars into many projects in other cities, where we partner cities all throughout the county, the county doesn't get a lot of credit for that, building a bunch of affordable housing, because they're in cities, and the cities claim it through the state, through arena council, whatever. So we're just kind of doing, you know, God's work, but other cities are claiming all the credit for it. But it is what it is. So we want to have some mixed strategies to build affordability, but when you get into the homeless, like we did the project with out in Midway City with whatchamacallit, so I mean, that is, you're talking fully subsidized, where they're totally underwritten by the county's housing authority and then some other maybe outside federal funding. It's, I don't know what, so for that we can put all the processing aspect to it. They automatically fall into a fast track expedited path because it's a special project type thing. But those are the things we can offer. And maybe if there's fee reductions at the county that could qualify, that's something we could probably tackle with that type of project.
LA County is going to pilot with their second ADUs, where the county will give you a loan if you build an ADU and you rent it to a homeless family. So those are ideas that we saw from other cities are thinking about that now too. Or even just not homeless, you can just set an affordability standard. Some cities are thinking about doing loans or low interest loans to homeowners. If you build it and you set the affordability at a certain rate, then they'll give you that loan.
So Waters Lane came in, it was 16 units for senior or veterans. And they asked for fee reductions, and they did not get it by the board. They asked for fee reductions, the board did not give it to them.
Can I jump in here for a second, this is Jay? I really like the way that you guys are trying to follow up on the supervisor's request, and it sounds to me like a lot of what you're already doing on the affordable housing with the capital A is helpful, and one of the things you haven't mentioned is that now you're formalizing in the zoning code that the square footage basis of requiring parking is being formally attached to affordable housing. So I just wanted to share that what the rest of what you're aiming for to get under $500,000 is exactly what we've been trying to do at the ranch. And we've been studying it for a while, and there's two things that always just come to the forefront. One is if you want to stay in a single family basis instead of a multi-family basis, it's parking, because that's just the fastest way that you lose density. And then what a lot of people call small lot ordinance efforts, but we're just focusing on attaching single family, maybe even single story or second story with air gap walls, maybe just duplex. So the side setbacks are really, when somebody will look at a house between 700,000, maybe down to 600,000, they still can't afford it. But if you can get to 500,000, which the supervisor's goal was, people in our surveys are saying we'll lose those side setback areas in a heartbeat if we can get all the rest of the house we want with the backyard and front driveway. So just a couple things to throw out, that if you're really aiming for attainability instead of flat out state mandated affordability, there's the nuances are in that we found traction in are in those two areas, parking and side setbacks.
I like Jay's term, attainability. But one other huge factor that influences us that I think, and I don't know if this really impacts most areas in unincorporated counties, but one thing that is affecting us in other agencies is undergrounding of utilities. If you can provide some sort of exemption on that, if you have an affordable housing development, that costs millions of dollars to underground utilities. I mean, right off the bat, if you have to underground utilities, that almost can kill a project altogether. And I know that's that what the utilities don't really care, the utility purveyors don't care. That's usually a local ordinance that requires undergrounding of utilities. So if you're building an affordable project, I would hope that there could be an exception to that undergrounding rule. Just from a pure cost standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, so I think one of the benefits of this is that we're getting ahead of the state, because with the new state legislation and the arena counts and the housing counts, eventually, if we didn't build any units on a site that we picked a couple of years ago, then we can't use that site again unless we rezone it to something else. So that's going to hit every city coming down, because no one's really hitting any of their goals for affordability, low income, moderate. So no one's hitting any of those goals right now. So that's something that we'll eventually have to do in our 2020 cycle, is figure out where we could put these units. And that might require us to do a rezone anyways, but at least this will get us ahead of the game. Me will get credit for that from the state.
Why did the board not approve the fee reduction for that developer?
Wasn't in the interest of the county.
They want affordable housing, it is.
The board gave them, how much did the board give for that budget? $12 million or something?
Well, so in a way, they did get a fee reduction if they were given we call it as it is.
Because you can't build that project without a subsidy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So
in a certain way, they did get a reduction. Yeah.
Yeah, all the affordable developers have the option to reduce their fees to the board, and no one's ever gotten it. Of any of our affordable projects in unincorporated, no one's gotten it before. But it's probably because of that, because we're already subsidizing the project.
Okay. So anyhow, more on that to certainly come.
Okay. So for next steps, do you guys want to put like a letter, email, like different strategies, or to memorialize kind of what we talked about, or
do you want to give them, Richard, a draft of what we developed, so they have a chance to look at it and
cover a lot of different options, and you just add on to it?
That'd be great.
To it. Yeah.
Okay. You have another LMS demonstration, or?
You know, we were thinking about it, but we did one recently.
We did, at our last meeting. Yeah. Or not, the meeting before that, I think we did.
I think this might have been an accidental carryover.
Okay.
We're okay to move on. We'll come back to you. Just to touch on it real quick, we, as you know, we were going into last November with trying to test the system. It didn't come up and work, so it basically, I say that it broke, but just the car didn't start. So and then we went through a different cycle of development and testing that really led it to March, end of March. And then there's vast improvement with the functionality. You've seen some of that, on the dashboards and stuff like that. We now have what is our finishing cycle of three iterations to pre-build, build, and then test. Okay, and so we just finished iteration one, which basically starts from the workflow, step A, intake, and then moving forward through a process. And so it's gone very well. It's our confidence level is as high as it's been, because the project's had some time underneath its belt. So we're gonna go into iteration two now, which will take another a month or so, and then iteration three, in the summertime, June, July. So, and then we'll be on the other side of it at that point in time. And so, in iteration two, we're gonna have, obviously, testing, and so probably in about 3 weeks or so, something like that, 3 or 4 weeks, is probably when, Richard, you think we would be bringing in a couple of members from DPRC or whomever?
Potentially, yeah. So we'll probably go through a first round of it. Iteration two is the review cycle. So iteration one was the intake, and then iteration two review for not just planning and development permits, but for every group. So it includes survey, ad commissioner. So all the groups will be hitting the review cycle. So we'll be going through that, but we'll probably bring in somebody to help test that piece.
Yeah, a lot of the functionality is a lot of back office testing that we're doing. Because the portal side is pretty well designed, which we showed that a couple times ago. But so it's a lot of back office functionality. That's not so much what you guys would care about. Anyways, so but we are seeing the end of the light at the end of the tunnel, and in a very real way. So we're talking September 1-ish time to actually have our go live. It could be minus 10 days, it could be plus 10 days at that point. Right. We're just trying to get OCIT lined up to support the system once we flip the switch. And we have a lot of reports being developed right now from OCIT team and also the Deloitte team. But anyways, so we're in a much better place, but we're really putting into it.
So when that implementation happens, there's going to be a shutdown, I assume, at some point.
There's a cutover period, and then, you know, apps stays in a static form with this data, and we're already migrating stuff over to the new system. And eventually, it all reside in the new system and stored in the cloud. But apps will be our backup archival type system.
Okay. Great.
Anyhow, Lorie, you're just in time for.
I saw her pop in. She's gone.
Good to hear your guys' name, but I'll do a quick introduction. This is Christina Yang. She's our new concierge. So if you walk into the DPC, she'll be the ACC now. Really excited to have her here. You can do a quick intro if you'd like, Christina.
Hi. Really excited to be here. Today's my third day, so.
Yay.
And so I'm coming from a marketing floor. So it's a different pace here, but I'm really excited, and I do thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So when you roll to that DPC, she's one of the first faces you'll see. And then she'll be, Lorie has a number of vacancies up there that she's going to still try to fill in terms of the permanent technician type positions. So there's going to be a number of new faces that'll be just filling up that space there. But we're starting with the best here, so.
We did go through quite a few candidates. We had a pretty large pool, and so Christine's being a little humble, but actually one of the reasons we picked her was for her customer service experience. She had a few years in that marketing that she was mentioning, but when we did her reference checks, we got rave reviews, and she led a team of like 8 marketers to keep them on track with everything. So we figured if she could handle that, she could handle all of us, right? So
warned her about Joe, right?
Thank you for popping in. So this is the team that the board has appointed, these people from the private sector to represent developers' interests and developer stakeholder interests and processes. And so, they're our private sector's partner team to make sure that the public sector is always working together and coming up with good ideas and implementing good strategies to, take a project from cradle to grave as most effectively as we can.
And representing the mom and pops and the small contractors and builders.
So Lorie, we were just saying you walked in perfect timing to get into your service delivery.
Certainly, I just hot off the press. I'm going to go ahead and have Christina just stay for a second to kind of see what we do as far as like all this stuff. If you don't mind passing those around, thanks, I appreciate it. So Marco puts these reports together, as you guys know, and we are hopeful that this is going to be in our new CRM LMS. So basically, we'll be pulling it up on the screen here in a few months. And the biggest thing is we noticed our walk-ins are a little bit down this month, but we're still very busy with everything at the front counter. And as we move forward, our counter staff will end up being helpful in these next few months, like trying to get accounts created for the new LMS and the CRM when that goes live. So we're going to have that effort going on over the summer to just get people ready. Mostly the trends are the walk-ins and the calls. The walk-ins were down, but it seems like our calls were also down, and it's a little bit of the emails, and we're going to look at the trends and see what's going on there, but we're no different. We're still up from where we were, we're a little bit down from last year, but we're up on phone calls from last year. So it's kind of weird, because as we go into the more electronic age, it was weird to see that our phone calls had gone up. So I thought that was kind of an interesting trend, so I don't have the answer for that, but we do try to look at this stuff to make sure where we can improve that service. As you flip to the second page, the permit submittals are definitely up with submittals from last month, from last year, the same time last year. And then if you look at the building permits initiated, we're extremely up a little bit, definitely from that where we were last year. As far as inspections, we've added the inspections to this graph. I don't have what we did last year, but we're down a little bit on building inspections, but we're still very busy. I mean, it's not a dramatic drop, but I guess maybe that's just a little bit. We always see a spike as we go into the summer months, so I think it's just a normal trend. It's not anything to be too concerned about. And it's still amazing with all the vacancies that we're still able to keep all of our turnaround times. If you flip to the next page, we still are in the 99% for first plan checks, 97%, 98%. I don't know why we're not at 100, but you know, anyway.
Because they question it if you say 100.
Yeah,
100 is very suspicious.
Yeah.
So these are real life. I mean, but for the most part, you know, zoning seems to be, well, on the revisions, because those are, we have a lesser time frame on those, so those seem to be at 100%. But I mean, for the most part, we're still doing a great job. I'm concerned if we're always at 100%, then they're going to change our review times. Instead of 15 days, it's going to go down to like 14 or 13. Mm-hmm. We'll be, you know, threatened this with that before. No, just kidding. But you know, as we go through the new system, you know, hopefully we'll be able to see these metrics and see something changing for more efficiencies. And the last part, we still do our phone audits, and the only complaint that we really had was like if on the overall service and phone audits was that the fees were too high. So nothing we can really do about that. So again, we applaud all of our teams and all of OC Development Services to you know, basically we haven't really received any complaints across the board. The last page, just really quick, is the wait times. Again, our goal is to, you know, try to keep continuously decreasing our wait times. And now we're kind of looking at, you know, because we're doing the total numbers per month, so now we've switched that up to see what the average per day, so we can kind of get a better feel for, because the numbers aren't making enough sense. It's really how many days in a month. So we noticed that a couple months ago where our numbers were down, but we actually had less days because we had more holidays that week. So it's better to be looking at averages. So anyway, overall, that's the report. Again, if there's anything else that you guys want to see reported that we're not reporting out, let us know, because we can put that in the system. And that's pretty much it.
So when we go live with the new system, mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing is going paperless. You know, people have been talking about that for years, but decades maybe. But you know, applicants will be, you know, uploading documents into the system. And not necessarily bringing the paper to the counter. And in the event the customer comes to our counter, they're not uploading this thing and doing everything online, and they come to our counter, you know, we will be asking customers to bring in, you know, flash drives so their documents are all stored on electronically, and then we can just upload them at the counter. So it's going right through the technology system. And we will, when they come in, we'll also work with them in their public workstation. And so we can assist them to show them how to upload things and go through an online process, you know, themselves. And so we're not going to be taking in all these role plans and all those types of things. We're going to do everything in plan check review and comments through Bluebeam that's integrated to the system. And you know, it's going to be all in that format. And so we'll have our engagements back and forth electronically. And so aside from that, there's, you know, cashiering. I mean, we're not going to be taking, we're going paperless there too. So it's going to be cashless. So we'll be cash and we'll be check, and we'll have to put people to an e-check type of place if they want to have a check. Otherwise, when they come in, when a customer comes in, they'll be processing the transaction right there at the counter, them doing their own financial transaction on the monitor themselves. And so that technician that you used to just do a permitting process with and then go see a cashier, you'll be your own cashier and doing it just like you would be from home or at Amazon and making your payment and having your items in the shopping cart and so forth. And so if someone insists on rolled quarters and things of that nature, then yes, we will have an option to take a cash payer, because we're not going to turn a customer away for that. But right now, that looks like it could be a handful of people a day, and there's not a lot of reason to keep an operation open for a handful of people a day. And those handful of people, they're probably four out of five, are just checks, which can be e-check again online, electronic, and transacted. So anyway, so it's going to go all into that place. And when we go to building 16, it's going to be forced to be that way, because we're not going to have the setup we have today. So it's going to be, and I can show you that next time around, more of the program and the design of the one-stop space, because there's been a revision, so there's more finality. They're pouring the floor right now, the first floor. If you go by there, not that you can, you know, see exactly what it looks like. It's concrete. You guys don't know what that looks like. But so the first floor and the power, all the conduit, all the stuff like in place. So.
Well, it'll be interesting too, because we have these metrics so we can kind of compare when we go more electronic and then even with the one-stop shop, because right now we have like about 70 customers a day. You know, sometimes we have 100, right? Sometimes we have like less, but for the most part, we're at like, we're serving like 70 with a wait time of 3 to 5 minutes. And then even during the lunch hour, because we've cross-trained all the CPP staff, so now we're down to like 8 minutes during the lunch hour. On average, I mean, there's still maybe those days where someone comes in and they still wait half an hour, but on average, we've really decreased our wait time. So it'll be interesting to see the new metrics as we move, and it's kind of nice to have these little metrics to compare to. So again, thank you guys, really appreciate it. There's anything else for us today? You already did the CRM LMS stuff?
Yeah. Yep.
Who's in replacement?
Thanks,
guys. Who's in replacement from the rooms?
Oh, no, upstairs, on the second floor? Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
In charge
sorry.
Of engineering.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about that?
It's Jeff Ernst. He's moved over from another section within infrastructure. I think his appointment has been recent, within the last couple of months or weeks. He hasn't been really active because we haven't done a lot yet, but he's kind of adjusting to his new position because he'll have responsibilities beyond just the ranch.
Do you know where he came from in infrastructure?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, infrastructure.
So. No, but like what section in infrastructure?
Flood.
Okay, so then he's moved over because George Shimano's not in that group anymore. He's moved into a different section.
So
not yet.
No. He's trying to move, but we won't let him.
So anyways, so what we'll do is that we'll bring that person down here next month, and we'll introduce him and make a chance to.
Jeff down here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me too. Because he hasn't been really put into the system yet.
Kind of a key position.
Sure.
Yeah, the team right now has been reporting back to Nardi's team in infrastructure, which is where they are. And they're in the structure. They're just on different floors because they're bunked up with BB to have an embedded service. But structurally, they report back to infrastructure. And right now, who was temporarily managing them before Jeff came in?
There was no temporary.
It was Edward Frondoso.
But that was only like.
It was an interim.
It was like 3 days.
It might have. Then they reappointed. Then they reassigned him.
He's got a day job.
Yeah.
He does, and he's actually moved to a different section as well. So Edward will still be the traffic engineer, but he's taking on a new role in design.
Yeah.
Which role is that? Project manager.
Project manager.
Who took Edward's job in Road Bridge flood design? Jeff's.
Jeff,
right. Yeah, I thought Jeff took Maruza's role.
He took both roles. And her role was really only plan check for the ranch and CPP associated with flood and other county facilities.
So there's just.
I thought she had all plan check, all engineering plan check.
No.
So who plan checks what sometimes is called general communities, non-ranch development? Streets and storm drains?
Yeah.
We route it to different divisions, but we are managing it.
Yeah.
What divisions are you routing to?
Depends on traffic or infrastructure or the JT and grading we do. So it all depends. If you come through us, we handle it.
I thought last time we talked about this, it was Maruza's group was handling both ranch and non-ranch plan check.
If we get it through the general and we route it to them, they will look at it if it's a case that they have to touch it. So there will be a division that we route to, same as flood or traffic, they will look at it.
Who signs the contract?
Approval?
Khalid.
For the street improvement would be Khalid.
Storm drain?
Yeah, storm drain. If it's part of the street improvement, would be part of the package. Otherwise, it would be through us.
It's the county engineer.
Yeah.
Always on the street improvement.
You're talking about tracks, right?
Yep. Yeah. Track improvement plans.
Yeah.
Stuff that you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conditions of approval required to build it, you got bond for it, or build it.
Yeah, we even call it SD permits.
You got a building, you got to inspect it.
Yeah.
Open it up, all that stuff.
Yeah, the, yeah, the structure is a little different. So, I mean, if we want to, we can actually bring infrastructure services down here into the next meeting and just, maybe they can just describe how they provide their services on different types of projects and reviews.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Because we're already going to bring one person down to introduce them, so we might as well bring maybe Nardi or someone, or Edward or whoever else.
And they've had a lot of movements within their section recently. So a lot of new hires and people shuffling through the office, so.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, part of the process for development, non-ranch is still getting your improvement plans approved, getting your bond amounts cleared, getting your bonds prepared.
Yeah.
Building it, getting releases.
Yep.
County accepting improvements.
Yeah, the inspection part doesn't change. Their kind of steam still do all that.
Yeah, it's, Jim, if you look at, you know, the Transportation Land Management Agency versus like county, you have very distinct departments, building, transportation,
yep.
So forth. And then if you look at development services makeup, it doesn't have like the traffic component in it, like the TLMA has that, you know, in it. But, we do have the inspection for the horizontal roads and pipeline and stuff like that in our development services, mm-hmm. where in Mercer County that would sit in transportation. So sometimes we have some of our stuff together, and in some ways we have them separated.
Yeah.
And in this scenario, that design review team you're talking about sits in infrastructure, and then we're just a channel to help, you know, distribute reviews and so forth. So.
Well, that's
George.
Been a concern I've had for a long time. I thought that I was satisfied. Now maybe it's fragmented again, but back in the day. When we were grinding out a lot of tracks, we had a group and it went through various names, but they handled streets, storm drains, street lights, bonding, landscape plans, and they were the engineering component, and you could go down and talk to the guy in charge, or the person in charge, and they want to do this, I need a deviation, and it was all about the execution of the conditions of approval related to the engineering. Street, storm drain, things like that. Wasn't creating permits, wasn't building permits. It was, you had a group, you had dedicated plan checkers, you had a lead that you could talk to.
Right.
And when that went away, I mean, it went to Harry, mm-hmm. and then it sort of went away, and it's like nothing was going on, so okay, well, it's not a problem. But I've been in the read to tell you, in fact, I came and met with you right after you started here, and I said, who's the new Pat Stamp?
Yeah.
That was the last game leader down there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the setup today, as you can see, is, you know, the engineering, you know, outside of quality section, the engineering services are being provided out of infrastructure. The best way that I can try to grab that group and embed them with development services, so you kind of have more of a one-stop group to work with around this table, was to get them physically located next to BB section. So, I mean, I can get them next to our business, but I mean, we don't have the authority to obviously manage them, supervise them, and so there's still a different structure.
Well,
it might be that Jeff is consolidating everything under him. I don't know, since he is not even on our floor now. It may be, like I said, they've done some reorg and shuffled folks around, so.
Where they are physically, geographically, or even whether they're in planning or public works isn't a concern, it says is it consolidated, and is there some one person you can go who signs off on the plans before they go to the lead that you go down and talk to, or is it all spread out and what's the process, and we're running around collecting clearances like in the old days? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes back to what, you know, your role, BB, it's a similar thing. If we're losing something along the way or misunderstanding something, then we have to go to one point of contact or a project manager that can help us facilitate that. That's always helpful. Maybe we'll get some insight next month, and I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
So maybe we'll go take that back and bring the infrastructure team together that she works closely with, and then we'll describe how they roll out their service.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Okay. Anything else in your side, Colby?
I don't think so.
We have July meeting date. Are we going to go dark in July? We kind of It's kind of standard or has been past the committee.
Either July or August typically.
Yeah.
We might want to wait till June and figure out if we have anything for the agenda.
Okay.
Well, if we meet in July, we just need a new meeting date because the first Wednesday in July is the holiday.
Right.
Second Wednesday?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll keep it second Wednesday and then we'll discuss whether we go dark July or August.
Yep.
At the next meeting. Any other business? Well, with that silence, we can adjourn the meeting. Other than we'll just make a note, Sharon, for the next meeting to include the infrastructure team.
Okay, got it.
And Jeff.
Great. Well, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.